Let me ask you this. Let me ask both of you guys this so we can just get some education for people, because people might not be familiar. So, all right. So we talked about earnings. Mm. Can we break this down a little bit? Because people might hear about earnings and the earnings were good, the earnings were disappointing. And then if the earnings are disappointing, then the stock drops. But talk about, like, what does that actually mean when they release their quarterly numbers?
Yeah, so basically what I just ran down is the revenue generators for a company. So Apple, we talked about the iPhone, we talked about the services, right? That's another revenue generator, the MacBook, the iPad. I didn't even do wearables. The wearable numbers, I didn't even put those in there, but I could have. So everything that is a revenue generator goes into what the company earns. Wall Street will say, based on its performance, they'll say, all right, well, we estimate that they should make this much per this quarter, mm-hmm. these 3 months. It's an estimate, right? At best, it's an estimate. Now, if they hit the estimate, great. And sometimes we see the stock go up.
So you have firms like JP Morgan and Morgan Stanley that put out reports.
Yeah, they'll put out.
Where do you think it will go? Yeah.
Right. They'll upgrade. It depends. They'll say overweight or underperform. And based on those things, people will say, all right, it's a good time to invest or it's not a good time to invest. Also, what Apple didn't do, again, we spoke about this in a few episodes ago, they didn't offer guidance. And so when we talked about guidance, is the future outlook. What does the next quarter, the next two or three quarters look like? And so they haven't offered any guidance during the entire pandemic. So this isn't anything new. So the stock did pull back a little bit.
What is guidance?
I just said the future outlook of
Outlook of what they expect to do. So for my rap fans, the analysts are like academics when he's guessing like what the first week numbers are going to be. And the estimates are like first week sales before the quarter. Now, I truly think they should do earnings on a 1 year basis. It's a huge mistake when companies run on a quarter to quarter projection and it's a rat race that they're chasing, but they missed the number. But the numbers and growth of the company were great with a supply chip shortage.
Exactly.
So I wouldn't sell based off of that. And when you guys are looking at what to invest in, you always want to do the versus of the stock. So if you did Apple versus Ford, GM, whoever you would pick, you have to say, are they better across the board? The answer is usually no. If it's not, then you have to pass it up. But yeah, with the earnings, it's a projection of what they are going to do. And a lot of times if they miss, the stock will drop and then it's a good buy at that point. And I even seen stocks that have hit their numbers and tanked because of it. So that's why I never lean on earnings and I never factor into my investing equation, because it's not a game for us to play based off of that. And for those of you to trade off of it, if you get the direction wrong, you're going to get killed. So that's why I never factored into my investment.
Yeah, we just saw Snap drop like 20% after its earnings. Like they missed and it dropped 20%. But we've seen Apple have a $100 billion quarter and pull back after that, right? Mm-hmm. The revenues were running so high. Again, if you base your investment strategy off that, you have some real, real experience in doing it.
You shouldn't do it. I'm going to just say what he wants to say. 2 year price of Apple, 238.02. That's the target I have it getting to. So you guys can write that down. 238.02 is where I expect Apple to get. And Snap did take a hell of a tumble. It will recover, but they have a lot of competition. I have an interesting theory about Snap, but I don't want to go into it. But if Apple goes to 129.76, that's where you guys should look to pick some shares up.
Yeah, you
heard it.
I'm going to do one more company that missed because it was like big news that obviously, so Apple misses, Microsoft takes advantage of that. They become the wealthiest company in the world, but Amazon missed. And everybody knows I've been huge about Amazon, made a hefty investment in Amazon. And so they missed their quarter. Obviously supply chain issues had a lot to do with that, but same thing with Apple. We know what quarter they're going into, right? The holiday season is upon us. Now today on CNBC, the president, the CEO of the National Retail Federation put out a statement. He said that this holiday season is on pace, right? They're expecting it to be the greatest shopping season of all time, right? Mm-hmm. They're expecting an increase of growth of over 8 to 10% from 2020, when everybody was pretty much home. And so if we think about e-commerce, who's the number one in that space? That good company, right?
Amazon.
But also another piece of news that came out about Amazon. Maybe people overlooked it, but they have entered the EV market, right? And we spoke about Rivian maybe last year, but it's the electric pickup truck. Well played. They own 20%. So the numbers finally came out that they own 20% of the company. So they own 20% of Rivian. I think the investment was like $1.3 billion, right? Based on Rivian's evaluation, because it's IPO in this month. We don't have the exact date. I know in the next couple of weeks it's going to IPO. But based on the evaluation, that investment is now worth $3.8 billion, right? So the growth of Rivian will also mean the success of Amazon as well. They've already ordered 100,000 vehicles for their delivery mm-hmm. service. And there's another company that's been invested in as well, you may have heard of, by Ford. Ford owns 5% of Rivian as well. So the base mm-hmm. has been laid for this company to be successful. Amazon's already owns 20%, plus they've already had 100,000 vehicles. How long did it take a Tesla to get to 100,000 vehicles ordered? Think about that, right? And so when you start looking at the success of this EV market, they've already built in a win.
So what are you saying? You're bullish on Amazon?
I'm staying bullish on Amazon.
You got to speak the language that people just want.
Shadi just want to know, am I buying it or not? That's all you want to know. I just want to give you the information so you make the right decision for yourself.
I speak for the masses, man. They just want to. They want that mic away.
Yeah. So Amazon is an amazing company. Hold it for the next 10 years. I know you guys are going to ask about Rivian, but it's one of the things you have to understand. When big companies like these, and they own a considerable amount of it, 20%, that is a solid strategy. And business owners, when I'm telling you to diversify, because we're not talking about it enough, but we've entered an age where we're watching the job market die right in front of our face. And part of the reason why crypto and EV is going up, they're not saying it. These are going to replace most job markets. And when they usher in universal basic income, they're going to say, well, we gave you guys the opportunity to invest in crypto and Amazon and Tesla when they were super cheap. So what I'm saying, you have to invest in these, because in 15 years, there may be no job market the way we see it today. If you don't believe that's true, go talk to your aunts, friends, brothers that lived through 2005. And when 2007 came, the job market dramatically changed. I remember when we were graduating from school, it was like, if you graduated, you were guaranteed a job. Now I know people that have masters that can't get a job that pays $80,000 a year. Please be mindful. We are witnessing a changing of the guard in real time.
UBI, universal basic income. You think that that's something that you just kind of breezed over very quickly. You believe that that could actually happen at some point in time?
If the job market continues to be eroded, absolutely.
Oh, they got him in the matrix.
That's our connection?
I don't know. No, we're still good.
Ian Dunlap has froze. They have him in the matrix. Okay. Well, while we wait for Ian to come back online, let's talk about XLY. XLY. So XLY. Since we're talking about oh, there you go. You good?
Yeah, I'm good.
Oh,
I'm good.
All right. So all right. Yeah. So you said if the job market continues to suffer, then some level of universal income will have to
it's gonna be needed to keep the people from revolting. Hmm. You have to. I don't think people go look at historically. Go look in 1929 and 1933, after those recessions happened, how much, you guys can Google it, how much the job market declined. The power of the dollar is going down. My biggest fear, and I've said it before, Vitalik came through Peter Thiel's fellowship. He made Ethereum. You guys, I've already told you my theory on Bitcoin. If we get taken off of the petrodollar and the Saudis no longer have to buy oil, that is the last linchpin that we need for America to have no advantage. Inflation will go through the roof. There's a reason why you're seeing Square, Tesla, all these companies look to hedge with crypto in case the world falls apart. Please write this down. The ultimate investing strategy is to be able to make money no matter what happens in the world. So whether we go to World War III or hyperinflation or we lose our dominant spot, you still have to be able to produce, make money, because like Rashad said before, we have expenses every single day. So when you guys are like battling over which assets to own, should I do options long term? The answer is to do all and then invest in the top ones and then you'll be safe. But in order to keep the people from having an absolute riot, in maybe 15, 20 years, they may have to do universal basic income for sure.
Interesting. That's interesting. We'll monitor that. One thing I wanted to talk about, you said that it's going to be the biggest retail season ever. So XLY, consumer discretionary ETF, that could see some positive results.
Yeah, we're seeing it run right now. We saw it run, obviously, because, and we said, shout out to Ty. Ty gave me the exact number. It was 16.9% allocation to Tesla. But the number one allocation in XLY's ETF is Amazon at 22%.
Yeah.
And so, again, if I'm bullish on Amazon, the company itself, of course, I'm going to be bullish on the ETF that has a large allocation of it. Plus, it has Tesla in it. Those two companies alone, outside of anything else that's in there, that's almost 40%. Almost 40% of the entire ETF.
I mean, if you're buying stuff online, and for everyone watching, it's a good question to ask. If you're buying stuff online and you don't use Amazon, what's the better alternative? Shopify's and Stock Club, it's not better. What are you using? Walmart.com? UPS Etsy. Isn't great. Etsy is okay. Wish, disaster. If you want the Young Jock Halloween mask, you could have went on Wish. Always think like, who is the best at what they do? This is why I hang my hat on being the best at investing. They're showing you in real time media who's best. You have to hang your hat on those that are best in the world at what they do. And that's an easy formula. And even if you go back to the 1980s, if you're looking at steel, oil, 1960s with Ford, that formula works for every single era. Like, who is the best at crypto? If you're looking at in terms of holding value or store value, it's Bitcoin. If it's ability to create projects, you can argue Ethereum. Please write that down. The number one in this space is always the best one to invest in.
And that's one of the reasons why I really love ETFs, is because it's like so take XLY, 22% is in Amazon, 15% is in Tesla. So let's just talk about that right quick. A lot of people don't like Tesla because they feel like it's too volatile and it's very risky. And it's at an all-time high, and it's, you know, it's kind of overinflated, some people might think. So this is why, you know, you can invest in the ETF and you actually get Tesla exposure without actually investing. And then Amazon's another one where people think like, well, that's, you know, up there in price and I might not have enough money to buy one share, mm-hmm. and it's not going to make a difference because I don't have enough money. So now, you know, the ETF once again gives you exposure, almost a quarter of your portfolio to Amazon without actually, you know, putting $3,000 to Amazon stock. But then also in that ETF has Home Depot,
yep.
McDonald's, yep. Nike, Lowe's, Starbucks, Target. Target. So, winner. You know, it's a lot of good companies in there. And yeah, people, consumer discretion, people start to spend money. All of those companies are going to get patronized. McDonald's, say what you want about them.
Greatest retail company of all time on a real estate side.
Yeah. Easily.
They're not going out of business, no matter what.
Home Depot's not going anywhere, y'all.
Nike, Lowe's. People don't think about Lowe's enough. We talk about real estate. Shout out to Matt. We talk about real estate all the time. Lowe's is like the cornerstone for all of these real estate guys, all the developers and all that. They have, they spend thousands of dollars on Lowe's.
Man, I tell my dad all the time, you need nothing else but Home Depot, Lowe's, Apple, Microsoft. For those, because like people in construction, you guys prop up. And this is what I love to do. I was in Galleria last week. I went to Apple to buy some wired headphones because I lost my AirPods, right? I'm like, how many sales you guys do? It's 11 o'clock. He was like, they did 2,900 sales by 11 a.m. When you guys are in there buying drywall and sheetrock, you guys can see the volume in there. Yep. So you guys have accounts. You know infrastructure is never going to go away, and major cities, people are still going to build. Just invest in quality across the board. And even better, with the volatility thing, Con Ed volatility is higher. For my people back at home, NIPSCO prices for heating is higher. Like, the rate of return that you're going to get is going to be offset by the volatility. So the more return that you want. So if you want something that grows 150% in a year, it may be a chance that you get a 25% drawdown. But a quality company that is best in its class is not going to draw down 100%. You're not going to lose. Even if you buy the absolute top, it's not going to go from top to bottom and you get wiped out. You have to stop worrying about volatility and quality companies and realize those are the places in which you should be buying the most. So like when Tesla was in the 620 range and I told you guys it was going to come down, it surpassed every estimate and then shot up. Now it's at 1154. But look, you would have doubled your money pretty much from June had you just listened.
My graduates from my school being Forbes, bag drop.
Bag drop.
A mic drop. Bag drop.
Bag drop.